Invite you to open your copy of scripture to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This morning we will be in verses 12 through 17. If you remember, these follow the verses from last week, the call to abide in Christ as he abides in us. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your love. And thank you that in your love for us, you call us friends. And thank you that as your friends, through your word, you give us direction and wisdom on how to live in this world as friends to you and friends to one another. So this day we come and our ears are open, our hearts are open to receive from you, the only friend ultimately who gives life and love to all. Would you have your way among us this day? And as we receive your word, Lord Jesus, help us to be those who do not only hear it, but do it as well. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a series right now in John 15, and we are looking to this text to better help us understand our identity and our mission here specifically at Belfair Community Church. Last week we looked at how we're called to live out our relationship with Christ, that call to abide in him, to make a home for him with us, not just to check in here and there, but to actually live our lives with Jesus Christ. And today we take a look at how we're called to live in relationship with one another, right here in this very church family. You know, there's something about human nature that tends to become a little bit jealous when a peer, someone on the same level as us, find some way to jump up in the hierarchy of relationships and becomes a friend to somebody that we would say is above us. Let me explain that. Starting in grade school, that kid that the teacher seems to favor above all the rest is quickly labeled the teacher's pet. And everyone knows that that's just a term to make the less favored kids feel better about themselves. And then I think about my own experience in youth group, when the youth minister had this tendency to take the older kind of sporty jock guys under his wing, take them out for lunch sometimes. They were his favorites, clearly. They always got to ride in his van on the way to youth camp. And the rest of us would kind of get together in groups and talk about how we didn't want to be the youth minister's groupies anyway. But really, we all knew that we did. We were jealous. In college, there were those students that you'd pass in the cafeteria who were having lunch with the professor. You kind of roll your eyes as you walked by. At work, there's those colleagues that you pass in the hall who are cracking jokes with the boss, and they become the brunt of the jokes in the break room. You see, there's something about these people that get to be friends with the higher-ups that just kind of annoys us. Kind of rubs us the wrong way. And it's really just because we're jealous. Because we want to be the chosen ones. We want to catch that important person's eyes. And while jealousy and envy are sins for sure, don't want to deny that this morning, I can't help but also wonder if that longing inside of us to be the one who somebody in somebody's significance eyes simply reflects a part of who we were created to be. I can't help but wonder if maybe deep down we just know that we were created for friendship with a king, if somewhere deep down inside of us, we just know that we were created to be known by the most significant one of all. And whenever we feel like that's happening all around us and we're not invited in, we can't help but feel incomplete and frustrated, hurt even, because we were created to be let in. And so that brings us to John 15, where Jesus once again is talking to his disciples in his very last days here on earth. He's having a heart-to-heart with those who will continue to do his work once he is crucified and resurrected just a few weeks away. He's speaking to the very ones who will lead the very first churches, to the ones who will teach the next generation of Christ followers who they're called to be and what they're called to do. And so it's important that these ones get the heart of what Jesus desires of them. And to the 12, Jesus says, I call you friends. And not just you 12, but any who might follow in my footsteps after you, I call you friends. Friend. Just like that. It's no longer some exclusive title only offered to the great patriarchs of Israel. I don't know if you know this, but in the entire Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of names, only one man ever got to be called a friend of God. That's Abraham. Jesus saying, no longer just Abraham gets to be a friend of God. No longer is an invitation extended only to the 12, or even only to the 3 on the inner circle within the 12. But this is a promise to all who might love Jesus and might try to love others by the grace of Jesus, that we are indeed his friends. Friends of Jesus. How so, you might ask? I, for one, sure don't feel like a friend of God, you may be saying. Like a worshiper of God, perhaps. An admirer of God, yes. A servant of God on my best days, yes. But I don't feel like God is my buddy, like God is my friend. How does Jesus get off calling us friends? And how can I be so sure I'm one of the ones he had in mind when he said that? Well, thankfully, he fleshes it out a little bit in these verses right here. According to verse 12, it's pretty simple. We can know that Jesus considers us to be his friend simply because he loves us, loves you. And not just in some general, because you're one of the 7 billion people on this earth and Jesus just loves everybody sort of way. He does love everybody. But his love is different than ours, in that he has the kind of love that is able to love 7 billion people with all his heart, while also looking into the eyes of each of the 12 in that room specifically. And saying to them, Peter, it's you I love. John, I love you. James, you are so loved, my friend. Terry, I love you. Steve, you are loved. Mina, you are loved. He can hold 7 billion and he can look us in the eyes and say, yes, and specifically you too. It says, not just because I love everyone do I love you. Even if you were the only one ever to walk this earth, still you would be my friend. Still I would love you just the same. And still I would show my love for you in the same exact way. And that's the way revealed there in verse 13. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So you know you're Jesus' friend because he loves you. And you know he loves you because he has sacrificed himself for you. He has loved you enough to give his life for yours. And if that's not a friend, then I'm not quite sure what is. Think of the one person on this earth who you might say you have no doubt is indeed your friend. And I'm willing to bet as you think about that person, that that relationship goes far beyond the surface. And somewhere in that friendship is a history of sacrifice. Whether it be the sacrifice of time to be with you, the sacrifice of money to bless you, the sacrifice of their carefree day to step into your messy day, perhaps even the sacrifice of their dreams so you might pursue your own dreams. Few of us have had a friend literally die for us, though I know some of our veterans here in this room would likely raise their hand and say, I've even had that. But you see, strangers don't typically make a truly costly sacrifice for another stranger's good. But Jesus gave himself to be with us and to be with you because he calls us friends. How can I be so sure I'm actually a friend of God? My friends, simply look to the cross. If that doesn't cry out, my life for yours, my friend, then I'm not sure anything else will cut it for you. And if still we need a little more, there is a little more. There's still verse 15. Jesus says, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Friends of Jesus get to know who he is and what he's up to. You see, servants, they live apart from the master's quarters. They're never really in on the master's conversations, at least not the ones that matter. They don't really know which deals he's engaging in at any given moment. Servants have no idea what the master's future plans are. They don't know what keeps him up at night. They simply do the job assigned them, no questions asked. End of the day, they resign back to their quarters somewhere out back, and they just kind of keep to themselves their world and his world. Jesus says this is not the way he relates to us, his friends. You see, he's not interested in just using us. Jesus wants to know us. Out of love for us, he wants us to know him. He wants to let us in on who he is, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. And he wants to let us in on what he's up to, establishing this everlasting kingdom. You get to know the secret of what it's all about, where it's going. This kingdom where he will be the reigning king and all things will be as they were created to be, full of life and love and justice and peace and nothing apart from those. And he even lets us in on what keeps him up at night, on what absolutely breaks his heart. He's told us things like injustice and hatred and divisions in the church and lukewarm believers, to name a few. You see, Jesus is vulnerable with his disciples. He sits there and he tells them his hopes, and he lets them in on what tears his heart apart. And I'm willing to bet that the folks in your life who know that stuff about you, who know your hopes, who know the things that can tear you in two, I bet those are some of the people that you call friends. And so it is with those who know who Jesus is and what he's up to and who know a little something about his heart. If that's you this day, then it seems that Jesus calls you friend. And finally then, according to verse 16, you can know you're a friend of Jesus simply because he has chosen for you to be one. It's as simple as that. You know, you didn't do anything to impress Jesus enough to let him be your friend. This isn't junior high. You didn't somehow convince him you were cool enough or funny enough or at least helpful enough to be let in. No, he chose you just because he wanted to be with you. My friends, you are here in worship today because for one reason or another, God has drawn you here. We are in a culture that no one expects us to be here. God has drawn you here. You are seeking Him because God has put into your heart a longing to know Him more. You did not create that yourself. And you didn't manipulate yourself into a relationship with God. He is way too wise to play those games. He chose you to share your life with Him as He shares His with you just because He wanted to. He chose you to be His friend. Abraham, Peter, James, John, friends of God. Suzanne, Wendell, Todd, friends of God. Chosen, beloved, friends of God. Just because God wanted it to be that way, He calls you friend. And so, friends of God, unfortunately, the sermon can't end quite yet. It's much too soon. Since we have all been loved so well by God, let us then love one another well. Let us love all people, yes. But especially, let us love the disciples standing in this very place with us this very day. You see, Jesus speaking these words, He's not just talking hypothetically like, oh, I just love you all. He's looking at 12 guys in the eyes, and He's saying, just as I have loved each of you 12, love each other, as in the other 11 guys in this circle with you. He's saying, make your love real and practical by letting it start right here in this very place. That's what He commands. Before you get busy hypothetically just loving the world and loving the church and loving everybody, learn to actually love your brothers and your sisters. The ones sharing a pew with you, or the ones not sharing a pew with you because you don't really love them. Especially those ones. The fellow disciples on this journey with you right here and right now. Jesus' call in this part of John 15 is love each other. More specifically, love the church. To us, love this church. And the question then is, how do we do that? First and foremost, by simply getting back in touch with how deeply Christ loves us. This is still John 15, and these verses flow directly from last week's message on abiding in Christ. If in the depths of your heart, if you might honestly say this day, you know, I just don't really have a desire to love you people in here. Then I might ask you to make some room in your life for Christ to come in and make more and more of His home with you. How can I do that? We mentioned it last week. Spend some more time in His Word and prayer, listening to His voice. Get to know your Father. And as you grow in an abiding relationship with Him, you will grow in your love for us. Because when you make room in your life to live with someone, it's not long before their passions become your passions. And since He calls all of us friends, newsflash, it turns out He's pretty passionate about us. Do whatever you have to do to get in touch with how much Jesus loves you. And from that place of being loved so deeply, your gratitude will simply overflow to us, and you will love us too. Because we're His friends, and He's passionate for us. So abiding with Jesus is the most important step in loving each other as friends. But what more? Well, it's just what Jesus says. He says, love each other as I have loved you. And so true friendship with this very church will indeed require sacrifice. This is the laying down our lives kind of stuff. True sacrifice is that in knee deep commitment. that actually changes me for the good of you. And I think if we went around the room today and asked, you know what, what's maybe one of our most prized possessions in 2016, I think many of us would say, maybe not so much our money, but our time. And so true sacrifice for the love of this community will most definitely require some of that. You know, when I begin to read these verses in John 15 and begin to pray for our church, it's not long before I find myself dreaming of the day when, as we grow in our love and friendship for each other, for this very community, the day that we have more people begging to sacrifice an hour of their time on Sunday mornings to invest in the spiritual lives of our children than we even know what to do with. The day that we don't even have to pass a clipboard around 10 times because we can't keep up with the request, can I please find a way to love our kids? I pray for the day as we grow in our love and our friendship for this church community, when our more mature Christians in this room just find themselves naturally drawn to and befriending the new believers among us and initiating on their very own a weekly meetup with these people to read through the gospel together. Moments ago, Terry stood in the baptistry and said, "Church family, I've had a hard road. I'm starting a new life with Jesus. I need your help." I dream of the day that we commit to each other in a sacrificial way that says, "You're not going to walk alone. I give you myself. I give you my time." What's that going to look like? I pray for the day when our friendship to this very church family has grown so deep that widows and widowers do not leave on a Sunday morning without an invitation to lunch around somebody's table. I sat with a lady in Waco, Texas about 2 years ago, lunch during the week, and she said, "Jamie, you want to know the most lonely time of my week?" She was a widow, mid-70s. Said, "When's that?" She said, "That 1 hour after church on a Sunday morning." She said, "We've all come together and talked about community, sung about community, kind of did community, and every I go home alone. People go home with their families and their friends, and I go back to an empty house. My friends, I dream that that will not be the story in this place. But we can sacrifice a meal, an invitation, our afternoon nap for the good of one another." Turns out there are many ways to sacrifice for our friends right here in this place, whether it be the sacrifice of comfort, of money, of time. I don't know what it'll be for you, but I do know that our call to loving friendship never comes without sacrifice. As we abide in Christ, and as we learn to love like He loves, I believe there will be a day when the majority of people enter this room on Sunday mornings immediately wondering what they can give to the community, even more than they're concerned about what they might receive. And I have a hunch that perhaps we're already well on our way. And then, friendship to this church, to us, is a call to let others into our lives. You see, Jesus is a friend to those He has let in, on who He is and on what He's up to. And in the very same way, you are a friend to the people that you let into your life as well. I wonder, when's the last time you told someone in this community what was on your heart? And spouses don't count. Tell them too. I'm not saying don't, but not just them. Be a part of us. When's the last time you shared how things are going in your walk with God? The last time you shared your dreams and your fears and what absolutely tears your heart in two? You see, you're never going to be able to trust us if you don't take a little risk on us and let us carry something very valuable with you. We will never be a community of friends if we walk around holding each other at arm's length, close enough to smile and nod, but far enough to keep anyone from knowing how hard this past week really was. anyone from knowing how much we're actually struggling, or even knowing what in the world we're celebrating. You see, you don't have to start by opening your heart to everyone. That's intimidating and probably not super wise. But how about someone? Someone among us that you can trust, who would be so honored to get to be your friend. May we grow as a people who hold one another's dreams and hopes and hurts with gentleness and with great care. Might you help us by taking a risk on us and actually sharing your life in our midst? Might you give us a chance to be your friend? You say, I can't trust them. Why did Jesus have any good reason to trust us? Sometimes you just take the risk and let love have its way. Finally, then, friendship to this church must have in it an element of chosenness. You see, I don't know if you knew this, and if you didn't, then close your ears, but we are not the only church in town. In fact, there are some who indeed have much better programs than we do. And there are some who have a much newer and fresher look. There's not an ironing mark on the carpet in the back of their sanctuary. I guarantee you there's some. There are some whose music is more your style, or if we're honest, whose pastor you're more comfortable listening to or confiding in. But for some crazy reason, you are here. And if you're over the age of 18, no one forced you to be here this day. You chose us. And look around. I mean, seriously, take a moment and just look around. See a few eyes. Look around. You chose us, and we chose you. Isn't that incredible? Now, if that's not a sign that God is in this, I don't know what else could be. Where else in the world could you find a quirkier, more diverse group of people coming together every single week with one desire, but to worship God and to love Him and to love others? Guys, it's incredible. You chose us. Thank you for that. And we choose you. Really, we do. Even if you say, nobody in the church likes me, it's not true. I love you. We choose you. Making our home with Christ, let us just keep on choosing each other again and again until we love all the people in this room just as Christ loves us. Until we are really, truly, in the best sense of the word, Christian friends. Belfair Community Church seeks to be a people growing in our love for Christ as we give Him more and more room to dwell in our hearts and in our homes. And we seek to be a people committed to genuine love for one another, calling Jesus' friends our friends too. Abiding in Christ, let us love one another. And by one another, I mean the people around you right here and right now. What is love if it's not for us? Friend of God, you have received a precious gift and a great calling to go right along with it. Love one another the way that I have loved you. Friend of God, may you be our friend too. As we choose you, choose us. Abiding in Christ, please choose us. Because He calls me friend, I get to call you friend too, and you me. What a joy as a pastor to get to call you my friends. What a joy. What a joy for all of us to look a brother and sister in the eye and say, my friend. He calls us friends. I call you friends. You call us friends. Now let us live like we mean it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, why you would look at me and call me a friend, I don't know. Except for the incredible gift of your grace and of your love. Thank you that in calling me a friend, it wasn't just a warm, fuzzy term, but it was an act of love lived out through sacrifice, through letting me into your life, through choosing me. And thank you that you look at a crazy little church like us and that you actually believe we can be friends to each other in the same way you are friends to us. You actually believe it possible that we can live among each other in sacrificial love and in vulnerable relationships and chosenness, that we can actually not give up on each other, that we cannot actually have within the church people we like and don't like, but we can actually love each one as you have loved us. Help us, God. And I pray that as we hear this text, maybe months, maybe years down the road, we'd say, wow, by the grace of God, we sure have come a long ways. Help us take one step forward and then another in our love for you and love for others. So I pray in Jesus' name, amen.